True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Say it, Carl. Sing it. Talking that low, sultry, strange voice of yours.
They're thirsty.
Now,
they need sex.
We were just talking off the air. All right, by the way, if you ever told me I'd be rocking a George Michael 5 o'clock shadow beard to Warren back in the day, I'd probably say that's a negative. Yes. Yes. So we were just talking off the air. Brent Keyes coming up, guys, as we celebrate a victory Monday for the Falcons at 4:20 about Tech's win over Clemson. You got a bunch of guys banged up on the Carolina Panthers O-line. Jaden Daniels apparently has got a knee issue.
Let's hunt!
And, I mean, again, don't want to wish injury, but again, we're dealing with our third-string tackle. We've got two wide receivers that aren't even 100%. We know that. Drake did not look like Drake last night.
No.
So, I mean, injuries are part of it. So, I mean, don't cry for me, Argentina or Carolina, but let's go get it. And all of a sudden now, with our defense feeling pretty good about themselves, all of a sudden, man, I always felt we could go 3-2. I just didn't know what the three would be these first five.
Well, that's been the thing. And, you know, when you talk about our rookies, and this is what this is about, guys. We said this, if you listen to this show every day, before the season started, I said, for us to win big, all of our rookies have to contribute. And I'm talking about this class. And all of these rookies showed up in primetime. Watts, Bowman, Pierce, Walker. Walker had his first career sack. James Pierce had his first career sack. Billy Bowman had his first career interception. Xavier Watts had his first career interception. All rookies. That is what needs to happen. Now, the picks and the all that's not going to happen every week. But the impact that they can have, because Bowman and Watts had an impact in week one. They played well enough, Mike, that you know what? If you were just doing an examination of their position, you'd be like, they won. That's an A-plus of what they were able to do. The problem, and we know going back to week one, our deficiencies and why we didn't win. But, man, I love the fact that this team responded the way they did. They didn't blink. Falcons win last night, 22-6. You shut them down, guys. Four turnovers, zero touchdowns allowed. This is a dominant performance. And, again, Mike's right. Score should probably read, what do you think, Mike, 33-6?
I mean, if Drake doesn't have that ball punched out, look, I mean, it's rare you see. Guys try to punch balls out. It never works. But that guy just got a hammer throw on that thing. And, again, I agree with the caller earlier. Drake, just get two hands. And don't try to do a stiff arm there. But Drake, just not 100%.
What do you think D-Led's saying today?
Drake, that's costing you money. You're leaving money on the floor. A U.S. Bank Field, which is shaped like a giant Viking ship from the outside.
That's right, D.
Big horn in there, too.
That's right, D.
Big horn. Yeah, because D said that at practice one day.
He's leaving money on the field on all these drops.
So he makes Drake makes his unbelievable throw, catch, toe tap at the sideline. He goes, yeah, tweet about that, D.
That's right.
You know, so it was kind of funny. And he still doesn't have his contract extension, but I don't think Drake's even close to 100%. I just don't like Zach Robinson's play calling through two seasons. Now a season and two games. I understand last year he was throwing a serious curveball with the Kirk Cousins situation, and nobody could really know how to handle that, and then transition to a true rookie quarterback. But let's do some play action. Let's have some flexibility. Let's get your quarterback mindful of Pitts. Pitts was open. We've talked about leaving plays on the ground. We've left two Pitts touchdowns in the red zone on the field in two games. And that's, I hope, something Zach can correct with Michael in the film room, right?
No doubt about it. Let's hunt!
Right.
They're thirsty. Let's talk some dogs.
Ew.
Hey, man. These dogs. I mean, look. The way this game started, you were like, oh, crap.
And you and I said it, you know, and it's funny because we had dog fans going, you're hyping up the Vols too much. They're always going to choke. And then Carl said, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to coaching. And a little bit of both, but just – Gunnar Stockton. Well, and by the way, I thought Aguilar was freaking great.
He was doing some.
And I thought Georgia's secondary's got some serious soul searching to do. I know Kirby, as a defensive back himself, Carl, they'll tighten that up. But Georgia was giving it way too big plays in the passing game.
So it's 21-7 in the first quarter, right? 14-point lead. That crowd's going nuts. And here's where the coaching part came in. It wasn't necessarily at the end of the game. It was the effort and the intentional intent to come out and run the football. Think about how the first half played out, right? You score 10 points in the second quarter. You get back in the game.
Right.
It's 21-17. You go to half. Georgia comes back out, and this was the game. But like, Bobo, let's run it. Let's test their physicality. Let's see if they've got the balls to hang with us. Mm. And they came out, and coaching, you saw that. They were intentional about it. And then by the end of the game, if you look at this, right, Georgia had the ball way more than Tennessee. But I kept looking at those rushing yards, Mike, and I'm like, how many yards are the Dogs had over 500 yards. Now, they had 490. It wasn't like they were, you know, because of those big explosive plays. But 198 yards rushing, that's intentional. And that is where they changed the game plan. And then, Mike, it opened up the playbook a little bit more for Mike Bobo. You said you weren't complaining about Bobo after this game.
No, I got – honestly, I can't remember a game since Bobo came back. Back in the day, I used to complain – I got nothing to complain about this. I mean, yes, if you watch every single play, there might be a sequence you didn't like, but I got to be honest. I mean, the balls to call that fourth down. I mean, and first off, for Gunnar Stockton to deliver an absolute dime. I mean, that Carl, and the angles now, the reverse angle coming from the end zone, he puts it in the only place it can be. It was 38-30. You got to make the two-point conversion. They dial up that beautiful play to the corner. I just thought, I mean, it's everything you could ask for. But Gunnar Stockton, the Dylan Bell pass is beautiful. But, I mean, it just blows my mind that London Humphreys can make that and can be there and keep the feet in bounds, too. No question. And it's indefensible,
no,
right, to where the ball's defensive back was positioned.
Mike, you could throw that 10 times. You may not hit it. Like, that was the precision of that particular throw. You could literally go, all right, we're going to put a basket right there and have a quarterback throw it, not even under pressure, let alone in a stadium where everybody's booing the hell out of you. Huge moment. Let's put some respect on Gunnar Stockton's name. We are going to talk to Barbara Dooley on Thursday, and Barbara's been high on Gunnar all offseason. We talked to her, and she was like, she came on the first show a few weeks back, and she said, look, I love this kid. He can play. 23 of 31, 300 yards, Mike. Two touchdowns. He didn't turn it over, but it was the moxie in which he played with. He didn't fear the moment. And this was what I was concerned about. All right, here you go. Big moment. Down 14. Gunnar, what are you going to do? No problem. I got you.
Well, that's just it. I mean, he didn't throw an interception. He did cough it up on the fumble, but that was a big hit from Joshua Josephs by the Vols. And don't remind me of, Carl, remember the national championship game up in Indy where Gunnar – where it was
Stetson Bennett
fumbles out of bounds. And remember, Alabama gets it. And oh, crap. They come right back with some big plays. So they're down 8. Comes back. We talked about that touchdown drive. 9 plays, 75 yards, culminating with the score and the two-point conversion. And then, of course, the mixed field goal. Look, Max Gilbert, it's amazing. I couldn't understand how he went center cut in overtime for the lead at that time. But, I mean, that missed field goal, guys, there's one you could have doinked it. That thing wasn't even close. That, like, when you watch the college football final, a college kicker moment, that was the ultimate college kicker moment.
The other part about this that goes – maybe Tennessee fans will talk a lot more about it because it affected the game, but it was the false start before the field goal. It sets
pushed
them back.
And then the mind of the kicker.
It played a role, man.
And now it's at 43. It was a 38-yard before.
Correct. And you go, wait a minute. Here's the other thing about Gunnar, and this was something we hadn't seen. big explosive plays. He had four completions of 28 yards or more, including two for touchdowns. We hadn't seen that in two games. We were like, and remember I told you guys, I was like, Gunner, we talked to Connor Riley. Connor's like, he's trying to be too perfect in practice. He's trying to do all the things that, like, just perfectly. Just be yourself. And boy, was he ever. Great win for Georgia. If you had concerns, and this is, again, not to say that they won't be challenged the rest of the way, but I think a lot of the concerns have been answered, Mike. And those young guys on this team, because Kirby talked about this team being young, a lot of those guys grew up on Saturday.
Right. That's one thing Kirby specifically said, you know, growing up. You know, Gunner grew up tonight. Kirby walking up the field with his son and his wife, he was just kind of playfully sticking out his tongue, and he's having fun. He's giving some energy to the Georgia fans. It was great. I mean, just that one is one, if you're Tennessee, you're saying, are we ever going to beat these freaking guys?
No. Feels that
you
know, way.
I mean, unless you start, because you had the big athletic wide receivers, you got the big plays, your defense is more physical than ever, and then you had that classic just Tennessee sort of banana peel. In this case, it was a kicking game.
How did you guys feel? And are you more confident that Georgia not only will be back in the college football playoff? I think that's a no-brainer. That's just me. It'd be catastrophic things to happen if they're not. But we're talking about another national championship contention. Do you feel that way after Saturday? Do you feel like, okay, I know we don't have Jalen Carter in that group, but this group showed me something that gives me a real reason to believe that this team could potentially get there. Look, Notre Dame's 0-2. They're not getting there, okay? There are a lot of teams that are struggling right now. Florida, Mike mentioned, quarterback situation. Like, there are teams that we talked about before the season started and you felt really good about. Clemson is another one. And all of a sudden now, you look at Georgia and you go, okay, they're handling their business. Now, they got a few games, Mike. We know this. Auburn, I get it. Texas. But I just feel like, man, this was one that builds a lot of confidence.
Now, look, the thing about Tennessee, I mean, if you feel about, you know, Joey Aguilar did a better job than Nico ever did, I mean, you know, against Georgia. I do feel that, you know, Tennessee can certainly beat Alabama the way Alabama's looking. Alabama came back and beat Wisconsin. Both the Tide and Georgia have 2 weeks to get ready for each other Saturday night against Georgia and Athens.
Were you impressed, though, by Alabama?
I mean, Wisconsin is, the backup quarterback was in, the starter was out. You know, I mean, we know they play a rough, physical Big Ten brand of football. Yippee-ki-yay. No, I mean, not really.
I wasn't either. I'm not, look, I know you're saying, Duke's, why do you hate Alabama? Alabama! I don't hate Alabama. I'm just saying it was an okay win. It just, I don't know how to explain this, Mike, but you're watching games, and you guys know this. Over the years, you've watched Nick Saban's teams, and it's just been dominant, and you felt like, okay, they're going to be a problem for a lot of teams. I don't feel that way about this particular Alabama team.
Well, I mean, once they got up 14-0, you just knew Wisconsin doesn't have the capability to play from behind like that on the road in the SEC.
No, they don't throw it around that well. You said it. The backup, I mean, he missed a bunch of throws. I had that game on. I'm like, eh. So we'll see what happens here when Georgia takes on Alabama. But great win for Georgia. Now, if you're saying, hey, what about Georgia Tech? We're going to talk to Coach Key coming up in mere moments, guys. So stay tuned. We'll talk to Coach Key. I thought the best thing that I saw all weekend, outside of Georgia winning and the Falcons winning, obviously, and I'm just talking about moments, not on the field, it's per se, with football, was the storming of the field for Georgia Tech fans.
Yes.
And the student body and all that white being out there. And then, you know, I think the game, ESPN, Mike, the cameras, they come back off the field, right? And you just see everybody out there. And it was like, that's what college football's about.
Right. And again, for Georgia Tech fans, I mean, we've always believed that they're capable of doing it, especially once we got into this NIL deal era, where then if the money at Georgia Tech, we've always known they got the resources. If they get everybody on the same direction, we'll talk about it with Coach, and you can, you know, sort of find the core and the culture you got to have. Supplant that with the right transfer portal guys, which Brent has, and you got to. We also said you got to maximize Haynes King for his final year here, which, knock wood, they're doing. Don't trip up against Wake. Don't trip up against Virginia Tech. They got Temple next. So in the past, you know, it can be, no matter who the coach is, going all the way back to Bobby Ross, is always a game they're not supposed to lose. So don't do that now. But it just seems like everything's flowing. And again, if you're a Tech student or maybe a graduate student, you dealt with Jeff Collins. Now you got a real coach. I mean, the stories that have come out subsequently about Jeff, let me get this out of the way now because I know Brandon's going to talk about it. They were telling stories about the guys who were like lifting weights on the sideline. Last time they played under Jeff Collins. Like, what is going on out there? Brent gets it. Great win. Great. I mean, just feel good for Tech fans. And now, man, like, the sky's the limit right now. Look at that schedule.
All right, we're going to talk to Coach about Aiden Burr. He's cold. See what I did there? And we'll talk about Haynes King and more. Stay there, Georgia Tech. Oh, big win. It's Dukes and Bill.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brent Key is on the way, as we'll talk to Coach here in just a few minutes. Talking with you today online and at 404-726-0929. That's our text line as well as our phone line. And we had lots of great comments earlier. We're going to open up the phone lines a little bit later on here, Mike, as well, at the end of Guy Talk, because we've been loving the comments, man, coming in. And how are you feeling right now about this Falcon football team?
Man, looking forward to this. It's funny because I said to my wife, this is a fun week. You know, don't have to like dread going up to Flowery Branch and asking questions when things go south. Coach is going to be ear-to-ear beaming about this team. Yeah, offensively, we left some points on the field. Certainly, you don't want to be settling for field goals. But the good news is, field goal kicker, you know, John Parker Romo, making all his kicks. Maybe a little nervous on that first one, but he made all of his kicks. I'd say Carly's passed the audition, and we'll see where they go. I don't know how long they're going to continue to keep two kickers on a roster, but we'll see where that one goes. And then the special teams as a whole was great. I just want to see a little more imagination or just maybe not call it imagination, more common sense. To me, play action off that great run game just helps Penix and helps those receivers do their jobs more effectively in the red zone.
Do you feel like this is just a clear head week for Koo and he'll eventually be back?
I don't know if he does. I don't know where it goes. I mean, I hate to be mean-spirited because Koo won us some games. Look, we haven't been in the playoffs in 7 years. It's not like Koo won us a championship or anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty simple. He's got one job. Do your job. Good news is the Georgia Tech kicker certainly as heck did his job, brother, on Saturday afternoon.
He was ice cold. Aiden Burr. And 55 yards is not easy. Coach Key, you know we love you, Brent. And congratulations on a hell of a win.
Wow.
The atmosphere was electric, Coach. You said this was 3 years in the working. In the making, should I say. Explain that, Coach, because people are like, you know, they watch your team for the first time and like, boy, Georgia Tech competes. I want to see this team more. You said this has been 3 years in the making.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's, you know, the time that we've been here doing this. And, you know, it was, you know, you go through your first year and it's, you have ups and downs. You have good wins. You have, you know, poor games. And I told Buster after the after the game, we were talking about everything, and I just said, "Man, I said, take you know, we go back 3 years, and it was a Sunday after a game, and I'm sitting in my office, and I'm down." And he looked at me and said, "We all want to win today, we all do, but we're gonna just think we're building this thing, Brent. We're building it. It's gonna, you got to be patient, but it just all those things that you really don't want to hear at that time, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just a flood of emotions of, look, every win's a big win. It's hard to win football games. And but it was just something about that win, you know, where Clemson has been. But really, it goes back to 4 years ago where it's 73-7 here at Bobby Dodd Stadium. And, you know, they put their punter in to play quarterback at the end of the game. And he's throwing touchdowns. And it was just an emotional time of how far we've come.
Amazing game, amazing win. Congrats, brother. And Haynes King, I know you know you got somebody special there. Dabo Swinney saying, man, that is one tough quarterback, one tough player. Talk about his resiliency, because we were a little worried after the Colorado game, but, man, he's tough as nails.
man, everybody gets worried about him. Like, oh, he's hurt. He's hit. I mean, shoot, he gets more energy every time he does. No, look, he's a special kid. You know, the way he's mentally wired, and the coolest thing about him, it's not even what he does on the field. It's the team first, and you know, little me, big team, you know, deflects all praise. But it's even directed towards staff. I mean, you know, he's talking the other day. He said it's about my teammates, the offensive line, the running backs, receivers, the defense, the special teams, the coaches, staff members. I mean, no one's left unthanked from him. And that's just the cherry on top of, you know, the competitor that he is and the toughness that he shows every day.
We're talking about Georgia Tech, guys. They are 3-0, first in the ACC. And Coach, maybe you keep up with this stuff. Maybe you don't. I do. You're 7-1 against ranked teams in the ACC, which tells me big games, your teams are ready to play, which that was the case on Saturday. You don't look at these games any differently. We know your approach, but what's the deal there? I mean, these ranked teams, every time you're playing in these big games, your team's showing up. And as you said, you've been building this. This has been a process.
Yeah, you know, guys, it's not surprising to me when we play like that. It's really not, all right? It's more surprising when we don't. Mm-hmm. And that's what the emphasis of this year has been. You know, when you're first, you know, learning how to win these types of games and, you know, the consistency that it takes to play week in and week out and to prepare week in and week out, that's where the trust and the belief in this football team comes, because I do believe in them, and I do trust that they're going to take every week the exact same. And to this point, they have. They give me zero reason not to believe that, but, you know, every day is a new day. So it's the coaching and the teaching every single day that every game is the most important. I mean, after the game, I said it in the locker room. You know, they have earned the right for the next game to be bigger than the last one because of what they did and what they've accomplished. They've earned that right. That's a privilege, and pressure is a privilege.
One of the things, Brent, is Brent Key, guys, joins us here on Dukes and Bell on the WaitForIt.com hotline, is the ability to execute the kick in that situation. And talk about your special teams coach, Tim Salem. Talk about the job, because there's pro teams, Brent, that can't do that. With the clock ticking down, get the guys out there, then execute.
Oh, man, that was fun. That was fun, wasn't it?
Well, what was your heart in your – did you know you had it? Where was your head at?
I was cool as a cucumber, man. I mean, the crazy thing is we practiced that two or three times last week, right? Friday mornings we do situational masters, which is a, you know, basically I go about 15 minutes in a team meeting setting and just go through different situations from the previous week's games. And Toro field goal, fast field goal, was the situation that I did on Friday morning. We spent about 15, 20 minutes on it, showing college games the week before, showing pro games the week before. And then we go out to practice Friday. Get into practice, we repped it next to last thing. The last thing we rep is victory formation, and we repped that next to last. And I didn't like it, and I said, do it again. Mm-hmm. And I said, do it again. We ended up doing it three different times on there on the field. And a lot of it's just for me getting the practice of where I'm standing and doing. So when the time came, we hit the timeout before, we run the play to make sure the ball is in a good spot. We gained another couple, 2-3 yards to make it easier. Now, watching the kick, I don't think we needed the extra 2 or 3 yards. We should have kicked it from further back, made it more fun. But you know, we told them, we said, Toro field goal will be next. You know, we don't have any timeouts. I looked up, there's 25 seconds on the clock when it went dead. Or when Haynes went down, I'm like, this is cake. I mean, we've done it in 14, 15 seconds to a near hash. So it went out there. They were a line set. You know, the line didn't move. They didn't flinch any. Mm-hmm. And then the key of it was the holder. You know, it was at 9 seconds when we were all set, and he didn't. You know, he called for the snap at 3 seconds to ensure there was no time on the clock.
Yeah, and you were a cool customer. I mean, they showed you on the sidelines. The only thing is you were sweating. Hell, it was hot. I mean, come on. You know, your sweatshirt that you had on. I was like, oh, it's hot. He's sweating. He doesn't sweat this. It's Brent Key, guys, coach of Georgia Tech. Tech wins over the weekend against Clemson, and, of course, they're moving forward. They're in the top 25. Congratulations to Coach about that. I know you have bigger aspirations, but it's nice to be recognized at number 18. I want to ask you, going back to Haynes King, Do you concern yourself with running him as much as he runs? Because that was my only concern. I know he went to Colorado. He had like 103 yards. I think he's got over 260 yards now on the season. But he's so good at it. It's like, okay, you don't limit yourself or your offense, but like that's the concern, I think, when we say, do you concern yourself with how many carries he has per game?
Kickers kick, receivers catch, O-lineman block. We don't worry about those. I mean, our quarterback's a dual-threat guy. Right? He has – his legs are weapons and his arm's a weapon. I mean, look, he was 20 for 28 also now.
He was. I mean, he was.
Right. You're right.
His completion percentage and his efficiency as a quarterback right now, going on the last 2 years, is off the charts. So it's an added weapon. It's an added, I mean, I watch these games during the week, whether I'm doing film study, whether I'm studying the opponent. Everybody in the country has quarterbacks that can evade, can get out of trouble, can run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of quarterback we want here. And, Payne's that way, but it's the inner grit in it that if you need 2 yards, he's going to get you 2.5, right? It's that. And the man's on a mission. He is on a mission. When I say that, I don't say it lightly now. He is a man. He's been playing college football for about 12, 13 years now, and he is mature. He's been around the game. He's seen all the pictures. He can anticipate. He sets up blocks well. Everybody talks about running, but they're not what people think they are. I mean, he's a long kid. He's 6'3", over 6'3". He's got a long stride. He's got a forward lean when he runs. I mean, he's not going to take those mechanics and all of a sudden slide like he's sliding into second base. I mean, he gets down. He avoids contact when he does. Now, you get on the goal line, good luck. I don't think his mom or daddy could stop him from running that poor kid over down there.
He did do that. He did. Brent, let me ask you this real quick. How do you celebrate these wins? Look, Mike and I talk about 24 hours. You've been around the NFL. You can't celebrate them long because you get caught up. But, like, Saturday was special, right? We found out the goalposts went to the president's pool. How do you celebrate these wins?
Press conference, ACC Network, went home and grabbed, put something. I was starving. I was starving. And I went out in the backyard for about probably 45 minutes and, did some work on my daughter's playhouse. And then called recruits, FaceTimed recruits, high school coaches, had some football on, didn't really watch a complete game by any means. I mean, I was on our game and then about probably 10 o'clock, 10:30, right. I sat down and pulled our game up and started watching it.
Wow.
I mean, I know it's a noon game, but the honey-do list can't take a break? I mean, can't you give yourself a scotch or something, man?
He's not saying.
Well, I'll tell you, come on now. Come on.
He's saying, I didn't say, guys. I didn't have one. There you go,
come
coach.
Come on, guys.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's Brent Key, man, the head coach of Georgia Tech. And as Carl said, no letdown now, baby. And by the way, you talked about it, 73-7, about just a couple years ago, a 9-game losing streak. And you and I have had these discussions before you got the job. I mean, getting everybody in the same direction at that university. It just seems like it's always, and now through the portal and the way you master, you got to have a culture. You can't just do portal guys, Brent. I think you've got a culture, but now how big is this though for you to build on this brand? And as you said, pick up the phone and start working it and get more kids into Tech.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you improve. I mean, you improve by improving the quality and talent in your roster and the depth in your roster. And that's what the name of the game is. And, we've got a lot of great coaches on the staff and great recruiters. And but we make sure that the guys are the right fit for us and what we're looking for and what we need. It never stops. It never stops. Mm. And credit to our kids. I told them last night, I said, you guys won that game. The locker room won that game. Right, our culture, our identity. And the identity of a team is different than, a standard of a team. I mean, the identity is the name on the back of your jersey now. That's your name. Right? That's who you are every single day. All right, and we know what our identity is and the way they've worked from January until now. That's what allowed them to be in position to win those games. But I also remind them, not one time have we said our goal this season was to win game 3 or game 1 or game 4 or game 8 or game 10. Right? Our goal is much bigger than that. Our internal expectations are much bigger than anyone on the outside. Right? So these things should not affect us in a negative light, because all they are now, they're memories. They're memories to us. That's all it is. Mm.
Coach, I tweeted it out. I may have tweeted at you. It's Brent Key. When your offensive lineman had the big bloody nose.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like on the sideline.
Wasn't that cool?
It was great. It was like, just put a cotton in there. Let's go. I'm ready to play. And I was like, that's a Brent Key lineman right there. That kid's tough, man.
Nails. Tough as nails. Or right. He would say tougher than a $2 steak.
Great stuff. Coach, good luck as we continue to support you and certainly the program. We're so happy for you because we know you work your ass off. Seriously. Right. And this feels good. It feels good for Atlanta and certainly all the Tech folks, man. Congratulations. Thanks. Let's keep it moving.
I appreciate it, guys. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I forgot. I did talk to Godsey for a little while on Saturday night, so kind of you gave me a little bit of a, neutral time right there talking to Goose.
Yeah, I texted Goose. He's like, yeah, I mean, of course he's going to nail a 55-yard kick with no time on the clock. By the way, he was like, I could even hear, I could see George rolling his eyes when he sent me that text. Did you hear from O'Leary, by the way?
Right, no doubt.
You hear from O'Leary?
No doubt. I was riding back to the house and I talked to him on the way back.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So proud for you, brother. Congratulations.
Man, I appreciate y'all so much. Appreciate the support. Go Jackets.
There he is, Brent Key. Calm as a cucumber. And guess what? That fire drill, those kids running out there, right, man, for that kick, he said it was cake because they had done it with less time on the clock. So he's looking at the clock, Mike, practice. Practice, man. You got to practice this stuff. And you get in those games, it's second nature.
I mean, I know, guys, we got a big Falcon victory Monday, plenty more on the Falcons, but that was one for Tech fans for the ages. Georgia fans hit up on the text line saying, even as a Bulldog fan, I can appreciate that win.
No doubt.
For the Jackets. And again, I think it's just better when all these games, when they lock horns Thanksgiving weekend, and both teams are potentially in the top 10 if Georgia Tech can handle their water, giddy up.
It's gonna be something else.
Right.
What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. You know, I told Carl, and I don't know if Day-Day or Orin knew this, you realize these memes about Josh Heupel looking like Bobby Hill from King of the Hill? Yeah, those things went epic. More victims. Again, I got some eyewitness news on this. Poor Georgia fans, victims to a gigantically long delay to get into Neyland Stadium, which had people really fired up. And nobody wins with middle-aged white drunken guys battling middle-aged drunk white guys at Bengals games. Details to follow.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where the players play on a beautiful day here, Indian summer, here in Atlanta. It's perfect. Weather's great. Said to Carl, man, no weird juju on the highway. Everybody's in good mood. Everybody's happy. And we'll be up at the Flower Branch on Wednesday having a happy conversation with Coach Raheem Morris, a happy conversation with Dave Archer coming up at 6 in the Coach's Show. More Falcon talk on the way. Meanwhile, in Guy Talk, as I said on the Twitter page, Carl, nobody wins with drunk middle-aged white guy on drunk middle-aged white guy violence. Joe Burrow gets injured, but he takes his helmet off, as you said, never a good sign. And so I guess if you're in Cincinnati or you're from Ohio or northern, you know, Kentucky, what better time to start swinging on people that are sitting in the club level section over a glass partition? Not sure what was said. You know that line of demarcation, guys, that you sort of see in different stadiums? And our stadium is kind of there, like at the 20-yard line or so. And anyway, the guys are just wailing on each other. And older guy gets a couple shots in. And I said to...
Yeah.
And I said to Carl, I mean, I'm not looking to get remuneration money. I'm not looking to get, you know, $10-15 million from the Bengals now if they want to, and they got any cap space left, sure. But I'd love to go talk to them for a draft pick. And if we could get like anything, if I could massage the Bengals for a third round pick for Kirk Cousins, if they, or anybody else who needs a quarterback between now and November, just a thought.
No, look, I think if they want insurance and they are really not sure, this is the thing they know, maybe we don't know yet. Everybody's saying 3 months. Is it really that, or is it going to be longer? And if you feel like you're a playoff team, they've started 2-0. First time they've been 2-0 in a long time, guys. They usually start 1-4, 0-3. It was one of the reasons why those guys played in the preseason. If it's going to be longer, Mike, then maybe they do reach out. But I just feel like the Bengals just paid everybody. Jake Browning's their backup. He's done a really good job, and he proved himself in 2023 when Joe Burrow was hurt and he went 4-3 and kept them afloat. So I just feel like that's probably where they're going. But I don't know what they have behind Jake Browning. That's the question.
And that's the thing. I was reading the Bengals article from the Athletic Reporter. He was just saying, as you know, you brought it up, there's a ceiling. I mean, Joe Burrow is a special type of an athlete. So just a thought. I mean, somebody at some point, if there's more injuries like this, and we see injuries every year, just, you know, mounting at all positions. Just found out, guys, we'll talk more about this in the Falcon Report. Carolina is without their starting guard and their starting center. Robert Hunt and Austin Corbett are on IR after getting knocked out by the Cardinals. Remember Cade May?
Oh, yeah.
Remember his dad got his, like, finger ripped off on a folding chair?
That's right.
Terrible accident.
Georgia but, offensive lineman.
A guy went to Tennessee, but Cade May will plug in at center. I think he's on his second or third team in the NFL. So after watching the Falcons just, I mean, brutalizing Minnesota, here, kitty, kitty, if you're heading up to Carolina. What I'm saying, we used to say that in the old days, Orin, in section, what, in section 124? Monkey who wore the helmet, and our buddy that kicked that, had that on the back of his jersey said, kick that A, and they'd go, here, kitty, kitty, whenever we play the Panthers.
I love it. I love it. Let's go hunt.
Let's hunt, Panther.
Yes.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, by the way, you want to go to the Kent State game with me this weekend? Nobody wants to go to Tallahassee. It's not really a big game.
They're going
to
crush Kent
State. Yeah, wouldn't that be a fun time for you to
And I
down?
Wouldn't have said that before the season, but now I know they're going
to
crush Kent
Day-Day,
State.
Yeah, you want to go to Florida State this weekend? There's no. We'll have fun and fellowship. We'll drink
can't
a little
do
bit.
It, Mike. Can't
what do you mean
it.
You can't do it?
Can't do it.
Why not?
I got a lot of stuff to do. I got to go help Coach Key build that dollhouse.
All right. You know, maybe I'll take Brent down there to Tallahassee. No, I can't. I call.
What
I
am I chap liver I mean, over here?
Well, no, you're never going to go. You got two kids.
Well, you're right. I can't go.
You go.
You know? He already marked you
Unless
off the
you're going to take.
You know who Mike is? Mike's the guy that has a list. Let me call John. Oh, no. John's wife let him go. Let's call Kent. Oh, no. Kent. Last time I took Kent, his wife was mad at
Hasselhoff
me.
Hasselhoff can't go. Dude
right?
can't
who
go.
He is.
Don can't go. Wolverton can't go.
Yeah. He's got four kids. He can't go.
Now, Johnny will go because Georgia's off this week. Johnny Plops is Georgia class of 88.
True. That's true.
And Johnny goes, because, you know, Johnny's like.
Johnny's down for anything.
You go,
man.
Johnny, you want to go to Tallahassee? Okay. So then we just go down. Johnny is kind of like having a dog. He's great. Bring him to the beach. Hey, what's going on? Johnny, by the way, great wingman in the old days, Carl. We'd be out in Atlanta. I'd be going out in Vegas from Atlanta, and we'd be at like at a cabana or something. And Johnny, invariably, when we were single, and girls are like, so what do you do back in Atlanta? And Johnny's like, Mike's kind of a big deal. He's on the radio and TV. That's a good wingman.
No, no,
right
no,
there.
No doubt. No doubt.
That's a setup right there.
That is.
That's a layup. So, Johnny, if you're listening, let's go. We're going to leave about noon. Anyway, so who cares about Kent State? We just go down there to party. It's a slow weekend in Tallahassee. Meanwhile, did you hear about the blank show for both Volunteers and Bulldog fans attempting to get into Neyland Stadium?
No, I did not.
I showed Carl the picture. Rusty Manziel, I think Rusty tweeted it.
Okay.
I don't want to tweet without Rusty's permission, but Rusty sent me the photo. I've got a good buddy, Ricky. He's from Blueville, West Virginia. He's a Vols fan. And he texted me. He goes, have you heard about what's going on here? There's like literally 10, 15,000 people trying to get up the ramp. They I guess they made some improvements. Maybe not improvements. Well, the Neyland Stadium.
You picked a hell of a time to do that with this game. There is nothing more frustrating than to be on time. First of all, get parking if you had to get it. However you got to the stadium or in and around it. And then you get there, Mike, and you're waiting to get in. You show me that picture. I would have been hot.
Yeah, Danny White, the athletic director for Tennessee, issued an apology. So, again.
What about my money back?
Because this is obviously the biggest game where there's going to be everyone drinking till like 3 o'clock. And you know what happens? Oof, everybody tries to get in the stadium.
That's right.
And it's, if we're honest, if you're on I guess that would be the eastern side of Tech, sometimes it's not easy to get in that side of Bobby Dodd. It's tight squeeze.
True.
So the same for Neyland, which is an older stadium, like a giant erector set. So either way, I had a couple of Georgia fans going, you know anything about what's – somebody thought there might have been like a stampede or something happened. They were like, what the hell's going on out here?
Yeah, it looks crazy. And I'm glad everybody was cool because, Mike, you know, tempers can flare in those situations,
too. Oh, hell
yeah. People don't know what's going on. Why are we moving?
Right.
Why are you yelling
at my
ear?
Everybody's tuned up. Everybody's been pounding since 10 o'clock.
Yep.
So that went down. Max Gilbert misses the 43-yard field goal. He looked like he's about 12. He looks like he's not even shaving yet. So, I mean, you felt bad for the young man. I haven't heard anything about, like, the obligatory morons making death threats. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Because as Carl pointed out, Tennessee could still beat Alabama. You know, could probably still run the table. Hey, by the way, hats off to Texas A&M. Signature victory for Mike Elko against Notre Dame. And that was amazing how they hit that tight end. And
fourth down.
Wow. I mean, that was a great weekend for college football.
No, man, look, up and down the slate, and Day-Day mentioned this, like from noon on Saturday, and it's not this way. It's not going to be this way this weekend because the matchups aren't there. But every now and then, Mike, from like noon to midnight, you get just great games, and that's what happened. Yeah, that game, A&M, it was a signature win, and you're going to ask me, do I believe in them? Because you asked me that last week, and I said, well, these are the games they usually lose. It's sort of like the Falcons when you talk about that fumble with Drake London. Things happened in that game, and Marcel Reed, the quarterback, was great. He didn't blink, and they went out and won that game. And you got to believe Mike Elko now has a shot to maybe do something. But weren't they here a couple of seasons ago and then got crushed at South Carolina when they were undefeated?
Yes, there was a big heat for them. They were in top 10, and they blew. Sellers ran over him and threw him, and all of a sudden they just fell apart. And so don't think that Elko isn't aware of that. By the way, Elko turned to, food for stress in the offseason. Holy cow!
He gained a little weight.
Mike, did you see that?
Gained a little weight.
Hey, Day-Day, I'm not trying to be, we can all lose some LBs. We've all been there. But, I mean, that I don't even know what size Elko's wearing. This guy's like a 6XL.
Come on, man.
I mean, that looked like, Mama Cass might have fit into that coverall that Elko was wearing for Texas A&M.
Hey, he's making all that big money.
Man, it was.
Dude. Making all that big money,
I mean, Sam Pittman ain't got a Joey like Mike Elko's got right now. Meanwhile, Falcon Report coming up, guys, at 5. Plenty more of your Falcon phone calls. We know you guys are fired up. We're just kind of giving you some guy talk. Yeah, so my buddy Ricky's driving back. I guess he's trying to get to 81 to get back home. And he texts me. He goes, and he's like, oh, you believe that? I mean, Coach Bobby really screwed the pooch. I'm like, who's Coach Bobby? I didn't realize that they make these Bobby Hill memes. Like, hey, Dad, are we going to go to the car show? Bobby Hill, the original, so they say he looks like Josh Heupel because Josh has kind of got an extra chin.
Yeah.
Like Bobby does. So they call him Coach Bobby.
And by the way, I think we did talk about this a while back, but the show is back, by the way.
Yes, with an adult version of Bobby.
Yes.
Who now looks even more like Josh Heupel.
The funniest part, because Michelle and I watched this like 3 or 2 days ago or whatever it was, they come back from overseas and they've been like, somebody's been living in their house. It's the funniest thing. But Bobby, that is a great comparison, by the way. And I had never thought about it until you said that and showed me those memes, but they're all over the place now.
I don't know if you guys saw this. I just posted the video because, again, we're on a radio, so I got to describe it. I guess this was pregame. The Saints have got some male cheerleaders. I mean, not the kinds that do the dance routines, the kinds that are kind of like helping the girls be like the base of the pyramid, like what Zeno used to do for the Ravens.
That's not right.
But anyway, so they're apparently practicing before the game, and I don't know what this move was supposed to be, but they basically wind up throwing a blonde girl about 10 yards because nobody's there to catch her.
Nobody's there.
It was just kind of a bad weekend at the Superdome for New Orleans. All right, last thing.
Can you say it? They suck.
They lost.
They are bad.
Well, the 49ers, it didn't exactly look like world beaters in that one.
No, but it was Mac Jones backing up. And look, everybody's hurt.
No,
right, Kittle?
Yeah, no Kittle.
Ayuk is hurt.
They look bad.
But the point is, yes, and I thought they played down to the Saints. Even without those guys, they're better. But, boy, the Saints are in trouble.
Right. And then finally, we did not have a chance to talk about this because, you know, for years, Carl and I went to every major boxing event in Vegas, anywhere else in America. And the Canelo fight with Crawford, if you didn't see it, Crawford, he wins unanimous decision. He basically controls the fight on my scorecard, Carl. I got it. Remember the old days?
Oh, yeah.
I got it going. 115, 113. I thought Canelo could really use a jab. He doesn't throw a jab. And Crawford shows some real ring gentlemanship.
But, yeah, Crawford controlled that fight basically from start to finish. One or two rounds for Canelo. Did you guys, I don't know how many of y'all watched it on Netflix. It was on Netflix.
It didn't start till like 12:45.
That was the problem. It was super late. I had a couple of boys that were there, a few friends. One of my friends, he's filthy, and I mean that seriously, and he's like, well, we'll just come get you. They took a private jet out there, Mike, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm not home. That was Friday when we were up in Chattanooga. Right.
Hold up. They were just going to come pick you up in a jet, Carl, and you said no?
Dude, because I was in between of trying to get back to Atlanta. They couldn't fly into Chattanooga. It was just because he was picking up other people.
They would have flown to Chattanooga to come and pick you up and take you to Dallas?
So here's the deal. That's not even the kicker. So then I'm like, well, you know, what about – he's like, don't worry about anything. So they were in one of those suites, Mike, in the Raiders stadium, right? So they're sending me videos and stuff over the weekend.
But from there, you're kind of watching the big screen.
Well, you are, but you have, you know, you got screens in the the deal. But they didn't care about that. You get
there for
full,
the fun.
Well, you get full food and drink in those. It's like, you know, it's your own palace. But they sent me a video, and I said, man, it looks like a lot of people there. I didn't expect 70,000.
Yeah, and the thing is, they had like dueling mariachi bands. Like, when is this thing going to start?
70.
One of my favorite Mexican songs goes, la, na, 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 la, na, na, na. I don't know what the hell the song is. But they went on and on. They had like the guys from Tool. They had like a guitar solo. Like, when is this freaking this fight going
to
start?
Well, Crawford came out to some of that.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, because he was making fun, obviously, of Canelo, or at least trying to get in his head.
Right.
Anyways, man, Crawford's one of the all-time best. I just want to say that. I put out the picture this morning of one of the things they sent me. But yeah, I was shocked. Mike, big prize fight back in Vegas. They said they needed it. I was like, city buzzing. He was like, everybody's buzzing. Stars were out. It was very cool.
Canelo always brings heat. But like I said, I mean, we used to cover it. But I mean, other than Errol Spence, maybe Sean Porter, he didn't exactly have the killer. He beat Amir Khan, but that was like years ago. So this was the resume builder.
He fought everybody late, though.
Right.
He's undefeated, guys.
He's never fought, but that was the knock on him. And now you look at Canelo. Canelo needed a day. Don't throw it. Anyway, that's it. On to more important stuff. The Falcons go up there and kick ass defensively. Offense, a few questions, but what a glorious win, Carl.
It was, and we're going to talk about it with you. 404-726-0929. Want to hear from you. There are so many things to be excited about after last night's win. We shut them down. It's Dukes and Bell.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.